This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and out of Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick. Boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
I have a lot of memories in my memorabilia.
Yeah, you don't want to get rid of that.
It's not memories. Like, you just don't throw out your notes from the day before.
Right.
Like, you are kind of a hoarder.
I'm really not a hoarder.
Like, water bottles are everywhere.
Okay.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that map make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Brooksy, your guy, Will Middlebrooks.
Well, I mean, Brooksy
just sent me a text and said Wiggy is banned from talking baseball. He just condemned Cora for not playing the infield with two outs,
yep.
LOL.
Remember Brooksy, I was all city. He played in the major leagues. There's a big difference. Got to be a little bit more aggressive.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tandem.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
I also think if you're going to call somebody dumb, it says more about you than me. There you go.
Like that attitude.
Yeah, how about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
You know what they say? Sarcasm. The twin brother of sensitivity.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what they say?
I believe they do say that.
That tracks. Yeah,
I think that was in the Bible.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning. Good morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up?
How you doing, Wiggy?
Oh, man. I am doing good. I cannot complain. Last night was a great night.
Not for the Red Sox.
No, not for the Red Sox, but I've moved past.
I hope Liam Hendricks stayed off social media last night and this morning.
Yeah.
What was great about it?
The Knicks
losing.
Lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there any fan base, Curtis, that you like to see more miserable than the New York Knicks fan base?
Can I have a tie?
Yes.
Knicks and Notre Dame.
Good point.
There is nothing that is more disappointing or perhaps even more emasculating than being the victim of the extra inning walk-off grand salami.
Yeah.
It is very, very upsetting.
And they had five infielders in last night's game at the end of it.
I don't know what.
You're not leaving that one.
Don't know what to say. I do not know what to say about the current state of the Boston Red Sox.
No. There's nothing to say.
No.
I thought
Chapman was going to, he came in with a 1-0 lead. You thought he would secure it. He gave up the tie and run, and then that was it. You stranded runners like you usually do with the extra innings, and then Yelich with the bases juiced.
Mm-hmm.
Goes Yad.
Yep.
Hendricks, boy. Our boy. The Aussie, man.
That is not recent enough to be a Hillman jinx, is it?
Yeah.
I think
Liam Hendricks.
No,
spring training was a long time ago when he was on this show.
Yeah, but did he start the season off hurt?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, from that moment, from the Courtney being right about the C's on a whatever shirt or hat, That was brutal. Last I actually had my sponsor call Ken after that game. honestly, I feel like they deserve this. Not the players themselves specifically, but the organization. It's not like a bath. You can't fill it and empty it on a whim. You either are building something or you're reactionary. Winning wasn't important for 5 years. Mm. And just because you did what you were supposed to do, which I certainly praise them for, doesn't negate that you may not have built a winning culture.
Like, yeah.
I think Tristan Casas, a guy that's hurt, was emblematic of that. Like, guys that just were, like, outsized egos who hadn't performed, hadn't won anything. And the irony is the one guy that's won was the one that was most negatively impacted by the offseason moves. They are not a winning baseball team in any capacity. God, do they suck.
Liam's going to need a walkabout. And now when the Australians kind of just go on a long walk and kind of get their mind right.
I don't know if that's Australian.
I'm not super
I believe
familiar.
It is.
I'm not super familiar with the Australian vernacular, yeah. But I'm sure you get it from some sort of a reality television program. Or
it is a walkabout. You go
maybe,
out.
Maybe perhaps the great actor Paul Hogan.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's enough.
Taught you some of those phrases. I have no idea.
Yeah, according to the dictionary, it's British. An informal stroll.
No, yeah. It's an Australian walkabout.
But, I mean, the only thing that you can do when it comes
to British? Oh, also Australian. There you go.
Thank you.
When it comes to that culture, whatever you want to call it, locker room vibe, the only thing you can do is call up the young guys, like finish the call-ups with Roman Anthony and see if you can change it, Curtis, with the young guys, right?
But what are we waiting for? It's June, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's so frustrating, and Ken brought this up to me, and it was something I hadn't heard on Saturday related to Liam Hendricks and the despicable commentary on social media. And Ken said, like, why are they talking about it? Why are you giving oxygen to this? That this is something where, to Ken, it felt like a way to avoid discussing the actual ills of the team. He can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what he was saying.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's what he was saying. And I love Ken, but it's an old head move for him to say that. Like, I think people that say, oh, why do you give energy to it? Why do you give oxygen? It's finally time for these athletes to say, these are what I get. These are the messages I get every single day. Something has to change. For them to just sit in silence and their family to sit in silence and just focus on what's been going wrong with the team instead of what's wrong with the fan base and what they're sending to you, I think is the wrong way to look at it. I know that wasn't yours, Curtis. It was Ken. But I think for Ken, he grew up in a time, as did a lot of you guys, where there wasn't social media your entire life. So then you become an adult and, and everything is has changed, but you don't really care about it.
What exactly were you talking about? Like, ownership?
Ken was suggesting why even respond?
Yeah.
Why make a big deal of it?
Why bring it up?
Like, why make it a story when you have trolls that are sending death threats to your wife and your family after you blow a game?
I don't think it was bring it to people's attention.
Yeah, well, because Ken was basically saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, Curtis, that Liam doing that is just taking away from how poorly he's been playing.
I think it was that obviously it's awful, and Ken said it's like nobody should deal with it. It's just, to me, you go to Major League Baseball security. If it were up to me, you'd tell people who these people would be publicly blasted, and they should be. But it just feels like another element of this organization where they're not interested in what's most important. And what's most important is the fact that they stink.
Yeah, but that's the players and the manager, because we're not gonna buy into that. We're not gonna blame ownership or the front office. You know why? Because when we were down at spring training, everybody was like, oh my God, look at the energy around him.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe. You know, Bregman and the guys and Giolito, everybody's hanging out with each other and playing checkers. It is a completely different. And let's not blame ownership and let's not blame the front office for, like, oh, they're the ones not taking into consideration. No, they did their part. We were all down there, you know, we were all clapping our hands going, look at this vibe. I mean, guys are skipping into spring training,
yeah,
you right. know. They're listening to music. Everybody's, you
cookouts.
Know. Cookouts. Cookouts with, which
way,
yeah, whatever your boy's name was, Big Perm or Big Worm was cooking out the steak tips. Yeah. And now all of a sudden.
Well, the biggest story when we were in Fort Myers was Rafael Devers.
No, no, but Curtis. We're not going to do that because you were even one person said the vibe's different.
They were, but
the vibe.
Of course it was.
So it has nothing to do with the front office not understanding what's going on.
Well, I'm saying that the culture of winning, I praised the front office in spring training in the offseason because John Henry finally was reinvested both personally and financially.
Yeah, the culture changed.
But,
the shift was there.
Right. Clearly it doesn't happen overnight.
No. But the culture change was different. Like when Vrabel comes in, the culture change is completely different. It's a new vibe.
And yeah. Wiggy's right, Curtis. Like, when you look at back at spring training, when Breslow came on the show, he was feeling good.
Yeah.
Like, Cora was feeling good. Everybody was in there saying, you know, ownership gave what we wanted, and now this team, you're so right. We're built different. We're
right.
different now.
Craig.
To now go back and say, like, ownership didn't do enough.
Right.
Well, where was that at spring training?
Right. I'm not saying they didn't
the vibe
do enough.
Was what
no,
we
I
all talked
about. No, I know you aren't.
About.
I know you aren't.
But I'm saying simply that you can't lose for 5 years, invest, and expect the team to automatically understand what it takes to win. That's
no, no,
what
no.
I'm
but
saying.
But once you change the culture, it's like the Patriots this year. You lost for what? 3 or 4 out of the last 5 years with Belichick, mm-hmm. right? And then Mayo. And then you switch it, and now everybody's talking about how the culture's different, how the atmosphere's different.
Nine wins.
If they go on midway through the season and they're not doing well, we can't sit there and go, oh, ownership in the front office or, you know, the GMs and all that, they don't care about winning.
This is Mike from Florida. Good morning, Mike.
How are we doing today?
What's up? Hey, what's going on?
Not much. So listening to this discussion and thinking about the Red Sox, you got to go back to spring training. And obviously the vibe's going to be different because, you know, they're everything's kind of like, meh, you know, we're just having fun. We're in Florida. We're having cookouts at Cora's house, you know, and then you go up to Boston and it's the real deal. The weather's occasionally lousy. But the real thing that I look at is they brought in Bregman for one reason, his leadership, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what they didn't account for was Bregman's leadership going to compensate for the impact that Alex Bregman arriving would have. No, absolutely not, because they didn't account for the impact it would have on Devers, because they didn't have the discussion with Devers before they brought Bregman in, and if they did, it was a half-assed discussion. They didn't account for would Bregman's leadership compensate for, you know, the Dalai Lama over there and Tristan Casas,
yeah.
you know, being a whack job.
Yeah.
They like all the things that they could have had the discussions about, okay, this is what we want to do. This is what Alex wants to do because he has a relationship with Bregman. What do we have to do to mitigate the issues that could potentially come up? They didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
And that's on the front office and that's on Alex Cora.
Okay. Well, you would disagree. Well, I was going to say you would disagree with Wiggy. Wiggy would put that on Alex Cora, not on ownership, not on front
yeah.
office.
Because, all right, after the first, like, we can all agree that Devers didn't like the change, and that affected him for, like, the first series or two series or whatever it was where he started off. But he's
the worst start in baseball
yeah,
history.
But he's your best player. Without Devers, you probably are a lot worse than this. He's your best hitter. He's found his groove. Like, he's doing everything that, you know, you asked him to do now. So it has nothing to do with where you started. And you can't, like, blame Devers. Bregman came in. Mm-hmm. We all felt good about him. And he just recently got hurt.
Where's yeah. that leadership, though? Even though he's hurt, like, he could still be a leader in that clubhouse. And all we heard about from Cora all offseason was that Bregman brings a winning attitude. He knows how to win. He knows mm-hmm. how to bring people together. He's basically like another manager in that clubhouse. It's just seemed so lackluster, which has been the word for this team the last 4 years. I just don't know what happened there, like where the breakdown happened.
Yeah, so I think Wiggy and I are disagreeing about nothing here. I agree that the vibes were better. I agree that Cora Courtney, he said that Bregman, quote, was the perfect player to us, mm-hmm. unquote. And for whatever reason, the team is not matching what their talent suggests. And my point isn't to blame the front office. My point is that you can't expect, after years of last place finishes, an influx of talent, a better feeling in Fort Myers is immediately going to translate. And I thought that, and clearly I was wrong.
Are you saying you can't just throw a coat of paint on a jalopy, Curtis?
I'm right.
And expect it to be a Ferrari?
I think Scheim dropped jalopy.
Okay,
all right. But yes, I watch this team, and it's like, they look like they all just met. There's runners on base all the time. They can never advance a runner. They can never do anything in just situational baseball. And it doesn't seem like it really matters. Like, it's just a really, from a team that I thought was going to be really likable and had a chance to take over the city to,
yeah,
we're at June, basically, and they are just loathsome.
Well, it is frustrating. Red Sox walked off in the 10th last night, and you could talk about that all morning long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We talked about the Knicks. Knicks now facing elimination. You called that yesterday, Scheim, accidentally, by the way.
Yep, Knicks and Oilers. Called them both.
Yes,
nailed
it. Yes, you did.
He predetermined. So, good job.
What do they have, 17 turnovers last night? I think Josh Hart had six of them himself. Mm-hmm. He must have.
Yeah, and Tyrese Halliburton did.
How did the Celtics lose to this stupid team? I don't get it.
Yeah, giving up 20-point leads. And Halliburton did something that I think it was the first time it was ever done in history where he had a triple-double with no turnovers. Yeah. You talk about turnovers, I mean.
Can we add Carlisle to coaches better than Mazzulla?
Carlisle's having a good one. I don't know about Thibodeau.
But I got to tell you, I want ESPN or some Barstool or someone to do a 4 days in October style documentary on the Knicks celebrating the round two, because that in my lifetime is the best self-own I have ever seen. A once proud city has been devolved into giving street names to guys that beat the Celtics without Jason Tatum in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I love it.
And what do they do if they fire Thibodeau and they named a street after him, like after beating the Celtics?
Yeah, I absolutely love it because they're getting stomped. They should have been swept.
Yeah.
If the Pacers didn't blow game three, they probably get swept in this series. And the fact that Curtis is right, they're celebrating a round two win against the Celtics, and with all these celebrity hodls that showed up just for the I love Timothy Chalamet courtside.
Chalamet.
Yeah. Chalamet.
Chalamet the Timothy.
Oh,
guy.
I love it. Spike Lee. Oh.
All right,
nothing
well,
better.
A lot to get to this morning, including our leads coming up in about 10 minutes, and then they set it at 7:20, and that is a quick back and forth on everything that they said yesterday in sports. We will hear what Jonathan Papelbon said about calling up Roman Anthony. We will hear from Terry Bradshaw what he said about the developing Aaron Rodgers situation in Pittsburgh, and the rest of They Said It at 7:20 this morning. And then the news with Courtney at 7:45. I have at some point, Scheim, the unfortunate and sad duty of delivering an audio eulogy today for one of the greatest guitarists of all time, Rick Derringer. Anybody know who Rick Derringer is?
I love Rick Derringer.
Rick, if you know a lot about the career of Hulk Hogan, then you know a little bit about Rick Derringer. So at some point we got to get to an audio eulogy later on, and as always, Hill Notes from you, your voice notes on any topic at 9:20 this morning. But to start us off, here is Courtney and everything that is trending right now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox drop another to the Brewers, this time in extra innings. 5-1 was your final from Milwaukee. The Sox had the lead until the bottom of the ninth, and then we went to the 10th, where Christian Yelich's first career walk-off home run was a grand slam with one out in the bottom of the 10th. Richard Fitz got the start. He went three innings, giving up zero runs on two hits while striking out two. Last one with the Brewers today. First pitch at 1:10 with Brian Baio getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Join Joe Weil at 12:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. In the NBA, the Pacers take game four, 130 to 121, the final in Indiana. Tyrese Halliburton, like Wiggy said, had a triple-double in front of his dad. 32 points, 12 rebounds, and 15 assists for him in the win. The Pacers lead the Knicks 3-1. OKC is going to try to close it out tonight against Minnesota. Tip is at 8:30. In the NHL, Edmonton goes up 3-1 on Dallas, taking game four at home 4-1. The Florida Panthers will try to close out their series with the Hurricanes. In North Carolina tonight, puck drop is at 8. And when it comes to the Bruins, sources are saying Marco Sturm and Mitch Love are the finalists for the head coaching position. Could have a new head coach by the end of the week.
I have no idea who those guys are, but maybe they'll change
the
culture.
Wasn't Marco Sturm on the team?
Yes. He was. Yeah.
Yes, he was.
And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Big news for saving on summer refreshments. Select soda is now buy two, get two free at Shaw's and Star Market. Buy two, get two free on 12-pack cases of Coca-Cola and Pepsi. 12-ounce cans, lowest price item is free. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. I'm sorry, I'm a bit congested this morning.
Oh, no.
So if you hear it in my voice, don't worry about me. I'm fighting through.
Is it allergies? They have been pretty bad.
They have been. I feel it in the back of my throat and in my nose, so okay. It could be allergies.
Mucinex.
Does that mean no hugs at the pregame tomorrow night Newport, Rhode Island?
I'm going to try to combat it before we get to Newport tomorrow. I will try the allergy medicine, okay. But it's you've been warned.
Right.
So
by the way, we are heading to Rhode Island for 2 days of roadshow activities, and the incredible people at Miller Lite and the incredible people at the Landing and at the Lobster Bar where we will be Friday morning informed me yesterday that during the whole time that we are there, they are going to donate $10 for every Miller Lite sold to the employees of the Matunic Oyster Bar. So,
well, that's $20 from Ken right there. Boom.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So, if you join us at the Landing, which is undercover tomorrow night, so you don't have to worry about the weather, for music and drinks and frivolity, and you have a Miller Lite, they will donate. And if you join us Friday morning for the road show, they will donate $10. So we will see you in Rhode Island, and we will get to our leads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up next, part one of my audio eulogy for Rick Derringer, who was just 17 years old when he had a hit with that baby on the AM dial, Shine.
That's awesome. I think I have part two coming up here shortly.
Really?
I think I've, as the kids say, sussed it out.
I don't know if you are you authorized to perform an audio eulogy? It's a very sacred honor.
If I've gotten the song right, Greg, I think everyone should have this honor.
Okay.
Is he from Ohio?
Yes.
Oh, because that's Ohio State's band. They play that every day.
Play that song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the McCoys was the band that he was in, and then he went on to have a huge, huge solo hit and play guitar on a bunch of songs, like play guitar on Edgar Winter Group, Frankenstein, and like a whole Free Ride. Mm. Like the guy was an excellent guitarist, and sadly passed away yesterday. So. But you're going to attempt an audio eulogy momentarily.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, excellent. We are going to get to They Said It at 7:20 this morning, just about an hour away, and we'll go over what Jonathan Papelbon said about Roman Anthony and the decision to bring him up. And it feels like after last night's debacle that we are at least one game closer to Roman Anthony making the trip from Worcester to Boston, whether he has the keys for his car or not.
Unless, especially when you see Meyer and how he hit the ball well yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I get the listen. The argument about Roman Anthony is where do you put him? And honestly, I don't care. Like,
put him in
I,
the outfield.
What? Put him in the infield. Like, I.
Well,
like,
it's very simple. You sit Trevor Story's ass. Puts it on Rafaela in the infield. Mm-hmm. Move Marcelo Meyer back to his natural position of shortstop, yep. And Roman Anthony just takes the center field spot away from Rafaela. It's that simple.
And then he just mashes all day long.
Damn
and
right.
At night sometimes also.
Right.
Like, do it. Like I. Yeah. You've been talking about having the best prospects in Major League Baseball for the last 5 years.
I'm with it.
So use them.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Like, what are you waiting for? And maybe it gives you a spark. Like, you're desperate for some kind of spark. So right.
I'm with it all day long. Like, I'm with that one on Chime. Rafaela the third, Meyer the short, and you got three good outfielders, and figure out where you want to put Anthony, whether you want to put him in left, put Duran in center. So, I mean, I'm with it all day long.
All right. Well, they said it coming up at 7:20 on this morning show. This is Sal from Northbridge. Sal, turn your radio down if you can. What's up?
Oh, hey, good morning. This is Sal from Northbridge, a longtime listener.
Thank you.
And you guys got a great show. And Courtney, you're the best.
Oh, thank you, Sal.
Okay.
Even though you're from BC, I'm a Providence College Friar, so we'll forget about that.
Oh, I love Providence
folk. Me too. Listen, just very quickly, being a longtime Red Sox fan, over 60 years, very disappointed. And for me, I'm disappointed in not only Alex Cora, but in the front office. And when I look at some of that personnel, your answer to first base is Nick Sogard and Abraham Toro. And, you know, they don't bring a lot of fright to my face when they step to the plate. And, you know, you get guys like Hamilton that are single hitters. I mean, I just think it's a personnel issue. And I think it's on the front office, you know, more than anything else. Corey doesn't have the enthusiasm or the excitement anymore that he used to, in my opinion.
Alex Cora doesn't?
Right.
Well, I mean, listen, Wiggy... It was his lead yesterday. He's doubling down on it this morning. I don't want to speak for you, but you think that maybe the biggest mistake that the Red Sox made within the last year is extending Alex Cora.
Yeah, because if you're telling me there's a culture problem or there's some type of problem in the clubhouse, and isn't it really the manager? We criticized Mayo all season long about him as a coach and just the culture in that locker room, right? We praise guys like Mazzulla who can get guys to buy into the culture. Now, granted, they lost. The X's and O's is completely different. But when you talk about a manager like Cora, and if you're telling me there's something going on with the clubhouse, the vibe, whatever it is, whatever the word you want to use for it, doesn't that start with the manager? It doesn't start with front office. They got you the pieces. They brought in Bregman to kind of help you. And
yeah, but it sounds like some people, I don't want to speak for Curtis either, but it sounds like the Bregman decision effed everything up in some weird way.
I don't think it was the decision. I think it was the fallout. And
like, not dealing with it with Rafael Devers during the time that you were talking about signing him or courting him or whatever.
Right.
Like,
and you have, you know, Tristan Casas saying it's Devers' position. You have players weighing in on things. It was chaotic. And I agree 100% with Cora that the team needed Bregman.
The roster is beautiful.
But Devers is kind of the sole guy who's performing well. So
Casas has been hurt for a minute. It's like two guys.
You could say Bregman and Devers are the two best players offensively on the Red Sox this year.
Yeah, hands down. But I mean, I think it's like two guys when you think about like the Casas thing. All right, I agree.
Everybody was asked about it every day.
Yeah. I think the Casas thing was like that's got to be on Cora to make sure he does a better job. But you know, it seems like it's all these guys or, you know, like...
Where they are right now, they are 27-30. We all thought this team, well, I'll speak for myself, I thought they were going to win 90 games at a bare minimum. To get to 90 wins, they have to go 63-42 the rest of the way.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
So, like, I know it feels early because it's not even June yet, and, you know, we're not even, you know, to 4th of July or, you know, Coastal Grandma period, but right now it is... I don't know what they're going to do to change the fortunes of the team. And the fact that they have been so reluctant to bring up the number one, we're not talking about some schmuck that we all overrate because he's a prospect in the Red Sox farm system. We're talking about the best prospect in Major League Baseball. And he's sitting in Worcester. And he would really like to be here. As
he homered again last night too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He's mashing. He's the best prospect. When was the last time the Red Sox had the best prospect in baseball?
And see, that one I would put on Breslow if that's his decision not to bring him up. But then I feel like we gave Cora a lot of credit and juice to say, okay, he's kind of got control of this team because of Bregman. So there, I can't see Cora going, all right, I want to bring Anthony up, and Breslow going, no.
Yeah. Well, we will get to talk to Craig Breslow about all of this tomorrow on this show at 9, Front Office Report. Chime, let's get to some leads.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for the lead.
Chime almost ripped my shirt during that one.
Hard not to.
That is part two of today's audio eulogy for Rick Derringer. And that may have been his best work ever.
That song right there absolutely rips. That song gets me going every single time.
The leads this morning brought to you by Subaru. Let love bloom in a brand new 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Greg. Well, it's interesting. So we've been paying an audio eulogy to Rick Derringer all morning. So I actually have a music lead for you today.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen this going around, but the All-American Rejects have been doing pop-up concerts everywhere.
In backyards.
Backyards, bowling alleys, barbecues, at colleges. It is awesome. I love it. Mitch has like some footage for you up on Twitch. You can kind of see exactly what you're dealing with. They just randomly announce it. People show up. They don't charge a penny. You just come and just rock out, do some crowd surfing, maybe mosh a little bit. Who knows? Have some fun. And I think this is awesome. And Tyson Ritter, who's the lead singer of All American Rejects, has now been on, like, Pardon My Take and CNN and all these different things. And it's just basically, like, their way of saying that concerts have kind of gotten out of control, expensive. Mm-hmm. And so for the people that just want to see their favorite band, like, we just want to put on a free show for people to enjoy and have fun and be able to enjoy music the same way as anybody else on the planet. And I think it's the coolest thing ever. This is a band that doesn't have to do this. They've had like 3 smash hits. And I think that this is, I think it's just awesome. I think more artists should do stuff like this, but I know it's difficult. Like, the logistics of it and stuff are tough. But I just think it's awesome. I think it's such a cool thing to do.
There's nothing better than the intimate performance.
Like 100%.
And you're able to be right there, and there's a couple hundred people. Like that backyard that we are watching now on Twitch and on YouTube is probably a couple hundred people in somebody's backyard enjoying the show, and it's awesome.
Tyson Ritter talked about when they did the show at the bowling alley, they did the pop-up, and then they were like, and then they got shut down by the police, and they're like, all right, everybody has to leave. And then like 2 hours later, they're like, all right, we're doing another show at the exact same bowling alley. New people show up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's such a cool thing. You mentioned the intimate setting. Credit to you. Seeing Zach Brown at MGM Fenway is like an all-time thing, because you're never going to see him in front of that small of a crowd again. And it was fantastic. And so I think you're absolutely right.
You know who I saw Sunday night is Wildorado. Do you know that band? They played at Boston Calling. And then they played a show. It was the 3rd birthday party for Nantucket Crisps, the potato chip, Curtis. And I've gone through so many of them bag-wise that I was invited to go to that show. They are really, really good. And there was only like just 200 people there.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
When you were moving apartment to apartment in Echelon, did DMs find your snack stash?
No, but we have begun the process when it comes to throwing things out, and I'm having a real tough time with it.
Yeah.
I have hoodies that date back to the Eisenhower administration, and I love them.
You got to do the Marie Kondo process where you take each piece of clothing and hold it, and you say, does this bring you joy? Have you worn it in the last year? if not, you thank it for its service, and then you give it, you donate it.
And that's the
Marie Kondo.
But they all have meaning.
Well,
to me.
But like, some of them could have had meaning, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, even a year ago. And now this year, you got to move on.
It just hurts.
Get you a big bin and put them in, you know, like.
No, I have bins full of I must have 1,000 hoodies.
Oh, okay.
All didn't pay for a single one, by the way. They're all gifted to me.
Those are the best ones.
We should get the All-American Rejects to play a road show.
Yes.
What about this, Greg? The Greg Hill Show goes to your backyard as one of the road shows.
Yes.
That'd be awesome. Wow. If we got All-American Rejects, that would be.
We should reach out to them and see if they would do that.
Great guerrilla marketing by them.
Yes.
That's
a lot of people are doing that now, like whether it's Lorde, Dermot Kennedy, and Sheeran, but they're all doing it to like film a music video. Or Dermot Kennedy is still so niche that.
Or the opening of a restaurant.
Yeah. Like the All-American Rejects, Shime's right. They don't need to do this. It's so cool that they are.
My wife and I had this idea like 6 years ago. We called it Crash the Cookout. We just pulled up to a cookout and just crashed it.
Really?
I mean, we're not performers, but.
Yes, well,
it's like, what's up, cousin?
Basically, you just showed up to eat somebody else's
food. Just crashed the cookout, man.
Yes.
You know, I got the option.
Careful who you have crashing the cookout.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah. Just crash your cookout.
Yeah. Just pull up and be like, yo, we cousins.
Where are the sliders at?
Yeah. We got the aux right here. Where do I plug in?
But I think we should bring a band. Like
That'd be cool.
And it would be great if it was these guys because you're talking about it in your lead. But if we're gonna do that, we should throw a real rager.
Yeah.
Like for the people. Like bring a keg.
Do you American?
I don't know the All-American Rejects. No.
I can make some jungle juice in one of like the empty kegs.
Just make sure it's not right before a pandemic and we have to drop kick Murphys out of here.
Will you be eating before the barbecue?
No, Greg. I'll sample some of the potato salad at the barbecue, but just a little bit. Maybe a spoonful.
What was the fallout with the bro yesterday?
Still ghosting me.
Really?
Yep.
What?
Totally ghosting me.
He's completely chosen Courtney over you.
Yeah.
Your brother.
Wow. I mean, to be fair, I get it, but like that hurts.
Yeah, right. I mean, he and I are still chatting.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, great lead, Shime. We will be back with more lead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Next. That has to be the backyard encore, Sean, I'm guessing, right?
100%. Think it's time to go home, they come back out and they rip this.
Obscure old show reference from a 617 texter. We gave away a backyard barbecue with Jane's Addiction, and it ended in a giant brawl, which was broken up by, I believe, the Marlboro Police Department. So... We should. I'm just remembering this based on this text. And thank you for texting on the Subaru of New England text line. But we should be careful if we're going to give away the different audience.
How did that happen?
What do you mean? How did it was WAAF?
Were you part of the brawl?
No, I was. I wear glasses.
Okay.
I watched it. But I was. I think I fled the scene immediately.
Yeah.
Usually somebody hitting on somebody's girl.
That's normally how it starts. You're right, Liggy. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we have leads left, including one from Curtis. Curtis, good morning.
Interesting month or so for Rory McIlroy, who completed the Grand Slam, winning the Masters, proceeded to hug Justin Rose's wife for an hour, and then had an issue with his driver, I believe, that was not really legal that he used to win the Masters. And then this week, it's the Memorial, Jack Nicklaus's tournament every year. Jack Nicklaus, you know, one of the true statesmen in the history of golf. And
perhaps the greatest to ever do it, although Tiger would disagree. But
most
yes.
accomplished, not the greatest. Jack Nicklaus was caught off guard yesterday as he found out that Rory McIlroy is not going to play the Memorial, not from Rory McIlroy. And here's what Jack had to say.
Were you not aware until basically the rest of us that Rory wasn't coming? I was sort of aware of it about the middle of last week.
And so it sort of surprises you, I guess, that he's not?
Yeah, it surprised me. But, you know, guys have got schedules and got things they do. And I haven't talked to him for him to tell me why or why not. You know, that's just his call. I made a lot of calls that I had to make when I played to play or not play. And sometimes it wasn't as popular as people thought it was. But, you know, sometimes you have to make those calls. I don't hold anything against Rory for that. He did what he likes to play. I know he likes to play so many in a row. He likes to play the week before a U.S. Open, and so that's what he's doing. So, you know, I really don't have a comment on it. It's very difficult. Very difficult. I mean, I'm a big Rory fan. Always have been, and I'm sure that will remain that way.
Yeah. Huh. So you didn't call him. He's also a member of the Bears Club in Jupiter, which is Jack's like signature course.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Well, and he's too classy to say. I love the way he said it.
Right.
You know how he feels about it. Like, yeah. Give me a phone call.
Right.
You douche nozzle.
Yeah.
At least send me a text. Like, right? Dude.
Is it the guy Jack's tournament? Is
yeah,
that why?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Oh. And he's like Wiggy. He's a statesman. Yeah. He's an elder statesman of golf.
But
he's
a class like, act as well.
The Joe Montana of golf.
I guess the best analogy would be like if Bill Russell had an event and, you know, LeBron was going to go, no showed and didn't call and tell him why.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
A guy that was laid right. The foundation right. for the sport.
Yeah.
And
you got
it. If I know I pissed off a lot of people with my 86 Celtics take.
Yeah.
If Jack and Tiger were both in their prime playing 18 holes, it would be like when Greg played Scheim. Tiger would destroy Jack.
Tiger had way better technology when it came to clubs. That's
they changed the sport because of Tiger. They literally changed golf courses all over.
They had to lengthen everything.
He was playing with like a wooden driver that was, you know.
Well, what if they had the same.
Circumference was 5 inches. No offense, Courtney.
What if they had the same technology? That's where we always look at it.
Right.
Like, if they had the same technology, is Tiger still way better than him?
In a time where everybody had the same technology, Tiger won 4 consecutive majors.
No, but we're talking about this guy, Jack.
Right, but I'm saying against your own competition, that's how you're measured. Tiger
it's
is...
just like Rory McIlroy should show up and give Jack Nicholson the respect that he deserves.
Nicholas.
Yeah. I always
the respect that he deserves.
I love these people. That's the Twitch chat just long road is telling me about Bears Club. I've been there many times. I know it. Like, I literally have been there probably 24 times. It's right off of Donald Ross, where the beautiful Trump International is situated. Thank you.
I mean, it's like if Courtney had a Christmas party and you didn't show up.
Yeah. And didn't call or text.
But it would be different. I would get the invite.
It's pretty much the same thing. You got the invite.
You got the invite.
Where'd I get the invite from?
Oh, she gave you the invite.
That was a petty invite.
No, it was not.
I never got no invite in the mail. That was
Polina both got the email invite.
That was after the fact. Like,
it wasn't.
Everybody here is invited. Oh, Jackson, you too.
No, we sent that invite. Invite to everybody via email at the same time.
I don't remember that.
You got the invite. You just didn't show.
Yeah. Same with my wedding, but no RSVP.
Excellent lead, Curtis. Thank you. Get to the rest of this morning's leads next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.